here is to, let's finish this out and then I'll get into Gary Johnson some more, okay? Tremendous insults for Gary Johnson. I mean, I had no idea that he was supposed to be dumb as a handful of dirt, but that's the claim from Alex Jones. I mean, I didn't live here under Johnson's reign, so, and I knew somebody who was up there during his time and said he was a very nice guy, but Alex Jones says he's mean as a snake now. Anyway, here is the response. And well, it's a military forum, and I'm trying to remember what the guy was asking him about. Anyway, here goes Trump.
I have a very, very powerful plan that's on my website that you possibly saw. One of the big problems is the wait time. Vets are waiting 6 days, 7 days, 8 days. And by the way, Hillary Clinton 6 months ago said the vets are being treated essentially just fine. There's no real problem. It's over-exaggerated.
Went on after that and laid out a litany of problems within the VA.
Look, I mean, she made up half of the things she said about me. I'm telling you, she said she was satisfied with what was going on in the Veterans Administration. Now, under my plan, if you've got to wait, and by the way, people are dying online. They're dying waiting to get to see a doctor. They're waiting 5 days and 6 days. Under a part of my plan, if they have that long wait, they walk outside, they go to the local doctor, they choose the doctor, they choose the hospital, whether it's public or private, they get themselves better. In many cases, it's a minor procedure or a pill or just a prescription, and they end up dying because they can't get to see the doctor. We will pay the bill. They go outside, they get a doctor, they get a prescription, they do what they have to do, and we pay the bill. That is something that I have been praised. And by the way, I never said take the VA, take it, the Veterans Administration private. I wouldn't do that. Too much respect for our people. I would never do that.
Okay.
I heard it was said that I said that I would not do that. But I do believe when you're waiting in line for 6-7 days, you should never be in a position like that. You go out, you see the doctor, you get yourself taken care
of. Hallie, you've got another question.
I do. Rachel Fredericks, who specialized in aviation operations in the Marine Corps, serving stateside. She lost two friends to suicide, and you now struggle yourself with PTSD. She's a Republican, but leaning towards you, still undecided a little bit too. Rachel, you have a question for Mr. Trump.
I do. Mr. Trump, I wanted to ask what your plan will be to stop 20 veterans a day from killing themselves.
And actually, it's 22, and it's almost impossible to conceive that this is happening in our country. 20 to 22 people a day are killing themselves. A lot of it is they're killing themselves over the fact that they're under tremendous pain and they can't see a doctor. We're going to speed up the process. We're going to create a great mental health division. They need help. They need help. They need tremendous help. And we're doing nothing for them. The VA is really almost, you could say, a corrupt enterprise. If you look at what's going on, as an example, Matt, in Arizona, where they caught people stealing, and they can't even do anything about it. They can't even fire the people. So we are going to make it efficient and good, and if it's not good, you're going out to private hospitals, public hospitals, and doctors.
Okay? Hallie, one more.
Thank you very much.
Donald Day here, who served as a radio operator in the Marine Corps in the Vietnam era. He had tours of duty in Southeast Asia and in Europe. He's also a Democrat and has this question for you.
Mr. Trump, I have a daughter who is interested in joining the service, but when she researched the military, she saw the stats on sexual assaults and decided not to go. I have a concern about the rape of women in our armed forces. As president, what specifically would you do to support all victims of sexual assault in the military?
It's a great question, and it's a massive problem. The numbers are staggering, hard to believe even, but we're going to have to run it very tight. I, at the same time, want to keep the court system within the military. I don't think it should be outside of the military, but we have to come down very, very hard on that, and your daughter is absolutely right. It is a massive problem, but we have to do something about that problem, and the best thing we can do is set up a court system within the military. Right now, the court system practically doesn't exist. It takes too long.
In 2013, on this subject, you tweeted this, quote, 26,000 unreported sexual assaults in the military, only 238 convictions. What did these geniuses expect when they put men and women together?
Well, it is it is a correct tweet. There are many people that think that that's absolutely correct. And we need to have a strength.
So this
and
should
we need
have been
have...
expected? And does that mean the
well,
only way to
well,
fix it is to take women out of the military?
And by the way, since then it's gotten worse. No, not to kick them out, but something has to be happened. Right now, part of the problem is nobody gets prosecuted. You have reported, and the gentleman can tell you, you have the report of rape and nobody gets prosecuted. There are no consequences. When you have somebody that does something so evil, so bad as that, there has to be consequence for that person. You have to go after that person. Right now, nobody's doing anything. Look at the small number of results. I mean, that's part of the problem.
So many of the issues that we've talked about.
All right, let's take a break here. But the place where the oil is found in West Texas, believe it or not, is in a place called the Davis Mountains. And it is, I just did a map search on it. It's about 240 miles from here. It's 203 miles from El Paso. And obviously El Paso's 45 miles or whatever from here. But they have found between 1.1 to 2.7 billion barrels of oil, which would put this find somewhere around a third to two-thirds of the size of the Bakken, which is this massive oil play up in it's found up in the Dakotas and Montana and everything. It's a big deal, and the company's name is Apache. So anyway, we'll take a little break here, and people, I just got a text asking me to say who the music was. So this is Peter Gabriel, Steam, What You Feel Can Make You Real. 724 AM Las Cruces, 25, and pardon me, I had that up a little loud. 725 on the button, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450 to call in, and 805-6180. And if you want to change the topic, just call in. We're almost done with our Donald Trump forum. All right, looking into this discovery by Apache, the Apache company, and it says it's worth from $8 billion to $80 billion, and it's in another report from fuelfix.com. They're calling it a 3 billion barrel discovery with $75 trillion cubic feet of natural gas in the field. So that is a major oil discovery. And they say it's found in an area about 20 times the size of Manhattan. So probably not super big, but and it is called, the field is called Alpine High, I think, is the name of the oil field. So we're going to be hearing a lot more about that, but not too far from here. And part of the Permian Basin. All right, let's finish up with Donald Trump's forum.
Trump tonight and Secretary Clinton are so complex that even career military people and career diplomats and politicians have trouble getting their arms around
them. Right.
You've had a very different background in business. So nobody would expect you to have taken over the last 20 years really deep dives into some of these issues. But I'm curious about what you're doing now. What kind of research are you doing now? What kind of homework are you doing? What kind of things are you reading as you prepare for the day in 2 months where you might be elected the next president of the United States?
Well, in the front row, you have four generals, you have admirals, we have people all throughout the audience that I'm dealing with. Right here is a list that was just printed today of 88 admirals and generals that I meet with and I talk to.
How much
time
are you spending on
this? A lot, and I'm doing a lot of different things. Don't forget, we're running a big campaign. We're doing very well. I'm also, and I'm very much giving it to my children and my executives to run. I'm also partially running a business. I'm campaigning. I'm running a business. I've got a lot of hats right now. But we're doing very well. But in the meantime, I am studying, and I'm meeting constantly. You see General Flynn, and you see some of the folks that we have, and they're scattered throughout the audience. So we have admirals. We have generals. We have colonels. We have a lot of people that I respect. And I think I've learned a lot, but I really feel I have a common sense on the various issues that you're talking about.
But you said in a speech today, you said, history shows that when America is not prepared is when the danger is the greatest.
And we're not prepared.
Will you be prepared on day one, if you're elected president of the United States, to tackle these complex national security
100%.
Issues?
100%. Hey, Matt, again, she made a mistake on Libya. She made a terrible mistake in Libya. And the next thing, not only did she make the mistake, but then they complicated the mistake by having no management once they bombed you-know-what out of Gaddafi. She made a terrible mistake in Libya. And part of it was the management after effect. I think that we have great management talents, great management
skills.
You are
prepared.
And I have to say, totally prepared. But remember this, I found this subject and these subjects of interest all of my life, Matt. This hasn't been over the last 14 months. I found these subjects of tremendous interest. That's why they were asking me about Iraq 14 years ago. They were asking me these questions. They don't ask business people.
Let me end in kind of the same place I started. Have you given much thought, Mr. Trump, if you're elected president and commander in chief, to that moment where you're going to have to make that first decision that puts American men and women in harm's way?
I think it's the most difficult decision you can possibly ever make. You're talking about death, and we're talking death to not just our side. We're talking death all over. I would be very, very cautious. I think I'd be a lot slower. She has a happy trigger. She votes for the war.
But
she
have
goes
you thought about
Libya.
Personally the emotional burden of that moment?
I think it's a tremendous burden. I think there is no greater burden than anybody could have. I've been preparing this for a long time. And, my theme is make America great again. We're going to make America great again. But, Matt, we've also got to make America strong again. And right now we are not strong. Believe me, we have a depleted military. We're the greatest people in the world in our military, but it is very sadly depleted.
The Republican nominee for president of the United States, Donald Trump.
Thank you, Matt.
There is your interview in the forum, and we'll be right back. Here's some local weather. Kelly O'Connell, AM Los Cruces, AM 1450 KOBE, 523 1450 and 805 6180 text. All right, so I've got this clip for you in which Paul Joseph Watson, who works for Alex Jones, is really coming out and trashing your Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson right now 7%, almost 8%, and they're claiming he's a complete imbecile. Check it out.
This presidential race could be really close. Although he has zero chance of winning, Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson could take enough votes away from Trump in key states to ensure a Hillary Clinton victory. Now, that wouldn't be an issue for me if Johnson were a principled Libertarian candidate. But he isn't. He's a total fraud and a complete idiot. Gary Johnson, the so-called small government Libertarian, wants to give the government the power to forcibly inject your children at gunpoint if necessary. That's not libertarian. You see, there's something called the non-aggression principle, Gary. Don't know if you've heard of it. Yeah, it's basically the bedrock of libertarian values. Might be worth Googling. During a recent CNBC interview, Johnson said he was open to supporting a carbon tax.
Well, I do think that climate change is occurring, that it is man-caused. One of the proposals that I think is a very libertarian proposal, and I'm just open to this, is taxing carbon emissions.
Right, so the so-called small government libertarian wants to implement a massive government taxing scheme enforced by a gigantic, onerous, centralized bureaucracy. That's not libertarian. The so-called small government libertarian wants to give the government the power to shut down bakeries that refuse to make gay wedding cakes, violating his own Libertarian Party's platform. That's not libertarian.
Things so the Jewish baker should have to bake the cake for the Nazi wedding.
That would be my contention, yes.
The so-called libertarian supports Black Lives Matter, a group whose public platform has all the specific hallmarks of Marxism, the exact opposite of libertarianism. That's not libertarian. Johnson supports the TPP, a globalist trade deal that even Hillary Clinton had to back away from.
Would you withdraw from the TPP on your first day in office and unconditionally rule out its passage in any form?
I'm being told that the Trans-Pacific Partnership would, in fact, advance free trade, and so I would support that document.
TPP is not just big government, it's global government on steroids. That's not libertarian. He also wants to admit tens of thousands of Muslim migrants into America because that worked out great for Germany, didn't it? Terror attacks virtually every week, mass molestations of women, rampant criminality. Sounds like a violation of the non-aggression principle to me. And that's not libertarian. As governor of New Mexico, Johnson, the so-called fiscal libertarian, inherited a debt of $1.8 billion and left a debt of $4.6 billion. That's not libertarian. Gary Johnson isn't a libertarian. He's a social justice warrior posing as a libertarian. He's a phony. He even gets triggered like an SJW when people use the term illegal immigrant.
Millions of adult illegal immigrants who are here in the country.
Undocumented, by the way. If you use the term illegal immigrants, that is very incendiary to our Hispanic population here in this country.
Why is that?
It just is. Just so that you know. Just so that you know and you don't have to use that term.
But isn't the term accurate in the sense that they entered the country, they immigrated to the country illegally, so they are...
Came into this country because they couldn't get in legally and the jobs existed. And you or I would have done the same thing. And we're talking about now coming from New Mexico, a population with 48% Hispanic. How's the crackdown on 11 million undocumented workers going to work out? It's going to be dragging people from their homes. That's how it's going to work out. It's going to be checking your papers house to house. And I got to tell you, what Donald Trump is saying regarding immigration could not be more incendiary. It is insulting to me coming from New Mexico.
Isn't it, though, unfair to compare, let's say, everything that Donald Trump's saying to simply using the term illegal immigrant? I mean, if I were in...
Undocumented. It just is. Just so that you know.
Well, just so that you know, Gary, policing language and censoring words in the name of pandering to political correctness, that's not libertarian. He thinks calling someone a racist over and over again constitutes an argument. Newsflash, Gary, it doesn't.
Racist. It's just racist.
He thinks Crooked Hillary is a wonderful public servant.
Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton. A wonderful public servant.
On what planet does that comment resonate with any libertarian? I mean, just look at the guy. Who makes expressions like this? What the hell is wrong with him? On a personal level, Gary Johnson is also a complete asshole. After being...
Pardon me. We'll take a break here and be right back. Little Peter Gabriel steam.
Of Iraq, back gun control measures, and doors.
All right. So I think we had talked about the government payout of $1.7 billion for the bringing back of these refugees, or not refugees, but Americans from Iran, which was a little bit shocking. I found a clip that I was looking for, and I do apologize for the last clip. I didn't have a chance to vet that. Here is Trey Gowdy going back and forth with James Comey over Hillary's email testimony, Benghazi testimony.
The bulldog Trey Gowdy rapid-fired through Hillary Clinton's lies during a House hearing on Thursday.
Secretary Clinton said there was nothing marked classified on her emails either sent or received. Was that true?
That's not true.
Secretary Clinton said, I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material. Was that true?
No, there was classified material emailed.
Secretary Clinton said she used just one device. Was that true?
She used multiple devices.
Secretary Clinton said all work-related emails were returned to the State Department. Was that true?
No, we found work-related emails, thousands.
Did her lawyers read the email content individually?
No.
Gowdy schooled Mr. Comey on Mrs. Clinton's intent of mishandling classified material.
In your old job, you would prove intent, as you just referenced, by showing the jury evidence of a complex scheme that was designed for the very purpose of concealing the public record. She affirmatively rejected efforts to give her a state.gov account. She kept these private emails for almost 2 years and only turned them over to Congress because we found out she had a private email account. So you have a rogue email system set up before she took the oath of office, thousands of what we now know to be classified emails, some of which were classified at the time. One of her more frequent email comrades was, in fact, hacked, and you don't know whether or not she was. And this scheme took place over a long period of time and resulted in the destruction of public records. And yet you say there is insufficient evidence of intent.
Gowdy finished with what he said is most concerning about the double standard for Hillary Clinton.
You mentioned there's no precedent for criminal prosecution. My fear is there still isn't. There's nothing to keep a future Secretary of State or President from this exact same email scheme or their staff. And my real fear is this. It's what the chairman touched upon. This double-track justice system that is rightly or wrongly perceived in this country. That if you are a private in the Army and you email yourself classified information, you will be kicked out. But if you are Hillary Clinton and you seek a promotion to commander-in-chief, you will not be. So what I hope you can do today is help the average person, the reasonable person you made reference to, the reasonable person understand why she appears to be treated differently than the rest of us would be.
All right. So I thought you might be interested in that. There is an article by Pat Buchanan called Is Tide Going Out on Hillary Clinton? And he basically says, well, if the election were held right now, right this minute, this week, Hillary Clinton would win the Electoral College. And then he says the problem is the election is 2 months off. And he says 60 days out, one census, she has lost momentum. The big mo of which George H.W. Bush boasted following his Iowa triumph in 1980. And her campaign is in a rut, furiously spinning its wheels. The Commander-in-Chief Forum Wednesday should have been a showcase for her superior knowledge and experience. Instead, Clinton looked like a witness before a grand jury forced to explain her past mistakes and mishandling of classified email at the State Department. And so there was a complaint that she was treated unfairly, but at the same time, even the New York Times admitted that while she was asked the tougher questions that than Trump. Trump answered his questions a lot better, and she was very defensive. So what Buchanan is saying is there's an indication across the board that the tide is turning against Clinton. And it's just kind of interesting to watch as these issues come up time and time again, over and over again, the emails and the Clinton Foundation, stuff that she should have seen coming and should have had an answer for. And maybe there is no good answer for the emails. Maybe there is no good answer for the foundation. Maybe there's a lot of different things that she's been involved with that she doesn't have an answer for that would satisfy people. But that is a problem with her candidacy. It is a problem with her as a candidate and her campaign. If you have a problem, you've got to deal with it out front if you know that it's going to come up. And she didn't deal with the foundation problem. She doesn't have answers for a lot of the stuff. She says that the data has been cherry-picked by the Associated Press, which is not known for being partisan. And so she's blamed her problems on her enemies. But, I mean, she's just made it harder or easier for her enemies to go after her by not having answers. It was pretty obvious that the Clinton Foundation was going to come up. And we just heard recently stories of how billions of dollars were paid into Haiti one way or the other that the Clintons got contact with, and that the Clintons have never done anything in Haiti to justify all the money that they've gotten and being the gatekeeper. In the meantime, the brother of Hillary Clinton is the person who has the concession on the gold mine, which is kind of mind-blowing if you think about it. We do have a call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Kelly's Ralph.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing? Hold on one second. This is Kelly. I'll be right back. Go ahead, Ralph.
That description of Johnson fits into a T. I've heard better descriptions, but that's pretty close. Thanks for putting that clip on.
Yeah, no problem. But I never was under him, so I don't really know anything about Johnson except he was seen as a very principled guy, and that he was a libertarian. But I never knew that there was really that criticism out there.
Well, yes, he was highly criticized when he tried to pass that marijuana deal through. And he sure worked on it, even out of state, trying to get back in on that. That's when he fell out of step with quite a few of the population here in New Mexico.
I didn't even know that. Anything else?
No, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this? Hey, Donna, how you doing?
I'm fine. My birds are fine, too.
I don't hear him chirping today.
They're in the cage eating their breakfast.
I hope you threw an egg in there.
No, I didn't. Although they do like scrambled eggs.
Well, that's
but anyway,
good.
I wanted to tell you that the only correct and moral solution to Hillary Clinton's problems is prosecution of her, and she needs to be in prison.
I'm glad you didn't say death. there's two standards out there. I think people out in the masses out there, to a large extent, haven't really been exposed to the full Hillary experience in terms of all the charges against her.
That's because our mainstream media is controlled by the likes of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, if anybody doubts that the media is biased, watch the election cycle now till the end of the vote. I mean, I've never seen anything this biased before. I mean, I expect it, but this is just really over the top.
Yes, it is. And in 1991, David Rockefeller praised the mainstream media for keeping the truth from the public. And that is, that's public record.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these guys have been doing this Fabianism for a long time. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Thanks, Donna. All right. I do have one other little story here for you. There is a story. The Democrats are anxious. They want Hillary to open up. But how do you open up when so many areas of your life have come under fire recently? How would you open up, number one, if you're not telling the truth? And number two, how far do you go in opening up before you, you know, create a bigger disaster for yourself. When she said she shouldn't have voted for Iraq, she's no doubt trying to become come across as a more honest person. But how did that work out? Now, here's a little bit email suggesting Clinton aide stage managed Benghazi hearing.
Fresh call, hear another investigation into Hillary Clinton's email practices. House Oversight Committee Chairman Jason Chaffetz is now asking federal prosecutors to investigate whether Clinton and her aides destroyed evidence and obstructed justice by deleting emails. Republican vice presidential candidate Mike Pence brought up the email scandal on the trail today.
It was a long time ago when I was still a boy that I remember.
This is from 3 days ago.
Number eight. A president who deleted 18 and a half minutes of tape and was held accountable for that. And now Hillary Clinton deleted almost 18,000 emails. That doesn't look like politics, folks. That looks like obstruction.
The chairman of the House Oversight Committee, Congressman Jason Chaffetz of Utah, joins us now. Congressman, you have asked federal investigators in the person of the U.S. attorney in Washington in this letter you've written to go into this.
I can't really get into this enough, and we do have a call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Carlos.
Carlos, good morning. Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. I have a quick comment about the Republicans. And,
okay.
You know, mainly just a cautionary comment. And the only thing that I would say is that sometimes, you know, like for someone like me that is a conservative, but at the same time, that when I was a teenager, I did have to cross the border illegally, but now I'm a U.S. citizen. But I have worked since the first day that I got here to the U.S. Ethically and honestly have contributed to the well-being of this country. And I think that when I hear the comments from the sometimes from even Donald Trump, he goes to the actual extremes. And that's when he can maybe actually losing votes from people like me.
Well, I mean, do you see yourself voting for Hillary?
No. But I'm just saying that, you know, when I hear the, someone like Donald Trump to go to the extreme, that's when he actually would lose me.
I agree that he goes to extremes, but I mean, not ultra extremes, but he goes a lot farther than most politicians in our lifetime have gone. But I mean, and we're about almost out of time, but I mean, don't you feel like in pushing back, maybe he felt like he had to go a little farther?
Yeah, sometimes I have to give him the benefit of the doubt. But like I say, you know, I mean, it's human nature that, you know, that he can be kind of inadvertently do be crossing that line. And that's what he could be losing a lot of votes because of, you know, of that.
I understand. We're out of time. Any last thoughts?
No, that's it.
Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. Okay, thank you, Carlos. All right, folks, we'll take you out here with some Peter Gabriel steam. I'll try to clean up my act, speaking of which, for next week. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back in 2 days. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, Kelly O'Connell Show on KOBE. Ciao. And, oops, wrong button. Ciao.